Well, this morning what we're going to do is we're going to take some time and we're going to pray for our leaders and for our nation. We're going to pray for our prime minister, our MPs in particular. We're going to pray for Kelly today, Kelly Block. We're going to take some time to pray for our premiers and, did I say MPs or MLAs? We're going to pray for MPs. We're going to pray for MLAs as well. Pardon? And our mayor and our counselors. And we're just gonna, as Canada, we've got this awesome freedom here, and we're gonna celebrate it. So once I find my sermon, because I've messed up my order. So today, like I say, do I have feedback now? Or is that just my ears? Pardon? Okay, my ears have been ringing too, so either somebody's talking a lot about me. So Canada Day, it's a little bit different of a day, like I said, but I wanted to start off talking about top 10 reasons why it's great to be a Canadian. We all have top 10s or our top 5s, but I have some really good reasons why. The first reason I think it's really great to be a Canadian is our Christian foundations as a nation. So that's our top reason. If you walk through the Parliament buildings in Ottawa, I'm not sure who's ever been to the Parliament buildings in Ottawa. They're a pretty cool place, right? If you've been. But if you walk and you go to the east side of the building and you look up and out when you're looking out the window, you're going to read these words. And it says, "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea." And that's from Psalm 72:8. So when the fathers of Confederation gathered together to discuss the terms for joining together to form Canada, Leonard Kelly came up with the word dominion. And he was a believer, and a word that he felt strongly. He suggested dominion. So as they were walking through the process of Canada becoming a nation, we were called the Dominion of Canada, right? And John A. MacDonald wrote a letter to the Queen at the time explaining that our nation would be built around Psalm 72:8, that he would have dominion over our nation from sea to sea. And if you actually read Psalm 72:8, it says fully, "May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." And that actually made it, that statement made it on the Canadian coat of arms. I'm not sure if you realize that. So we have biblical roots in our nation. And if you walk to the south window of the Parliament buildings and look up, you know what you would see? You would see this. It says, "Give the king thy judgment, O God, and righteousness unto the king's sons." And then, if you walk to the west window, you would read these words from Proverbs 29, and where it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And further than that, if you look at our legal documents, like the Canadian Bill of Rights, the Canadian nation is founded on the principles and acknowledgement of the supremacy of God. Not sure if you knew that. If you did, great. If you didn't, now you have a little bit more tidbit of information. See, these are the foundations that the rest of our history were built upon. These were the kind of the cornerstones of our nation. And for many years we've had, or many times we've had, godly leaders in leadership in Canada. And I'll give you an example, and some of you may have known John Diefenbaker. So my grandma did a lot of work for John Diefenbaker back in Prince Albert years ago. But when John Diefenbaker was prime minister, there was a time of heightened security. And we were kind of in a threat time with other nations. So there was an RCMP officer who was racing around trying to find out where is our prime minister, because there's a threat right now. So he went to the prime minister's home on 22 Sussex Drive, and he went to there and knocked on the door, and Olive Diefenbaker, John's wife, answered the door, and the officer told her, "For security reasons, I need to know where the prime minister is right now." And his wife said, "Well, do you really need to know, like, what's going on?" She's like, "It's a matter of security. he's at risk. The nation's at risk. I need to know where he is right now. And she begrudgingly told him where he was. And he was at church, at his church, praying, because there was some stress happening in the nation. He was under some stress. And he knew that the only place that he could get wisdom, godly wisdom, or wisdom, was from God. Obviously, godly wisdom when it comes from God. See, our prime minister wasn't there to get a photo op. He was there to authentically seek wisdom. And this, there's countless stories of this. So the second reason it's great to be a Canadian is our spiritual freedoms. If we lived in North Korea or Vietnam, we wouldn't have these freedoms, would we? We wouldn't be attending church or publicly promoting the glory of Jesus, would we? In Russia today, I don't know if you know this, but it is illegal for you to invite someone to church. Did you know that? Today, it's illegal now to invite someone to church. If you're a pastor or a clergy member, you are able to. But they've actually just recently, in the past 2 years, passed a law to make it illegal. So we have spiritual freedom here. The third thing is our comparative safety. So Canada is one of the safest places in the world to live, isn't it? You come from South Africa. You know about safety, right, Gary? Where lots of, basically almost every window is probably barred up and your doors are barred up. And it's like you're living in South Central LA, but it's actually worse. There's dangerous nations out there. Canada is a very safe place to live. We are 3 times safer than the U.S. We're 6 times safer than Mexico. And the thing is when you live in a safe country, you're able to focus on constructive things. Did you know that? You're not focused on, am I going to be safe? And I think 1 Timothy 2, it's written and it says this. First of all, then, I urge the supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. See, I think that scripture kind of, although it's not speaking of Canada, it kind of gives you some clarity because it talks about when people are safe, we're able to help talk to others about Jesus because we're able to speak to them and tell them about the truth, right? If you're fearful for your safety, how can you speak truth? How can you get out there and speak the word of God to people? The fourth benefit, the fourth thing about being a Canadian that's awesome is we have a lot of contributions in the world. Did you know this? Things to be proud of as a nation. Stuff like the telephone, insulin, the light bulb, canola. I didn't know that. I thought canola was just natural. Basketball, hockey, the goalie mask. Here's an important one, the jock strap. And ladies, not to be outdone by that, but the Wonder Bra actually was Canadian, I discovered. Sunglasses for snow blindness. Now I'm probably red now that I've said that. Seemed funnier when I was by myself. Sunglasses for snow blindness was designed by Canadians. The IMAX, if you've ever seen a theater in IMAX, right? That was done by Canadians. AM radio, snow blowers, snow machines. Pretty much any device for snow was developed by Canadians. The paint roller, the prosthetic hand, the electron microscope, the sonar, the pacemaker, the electric wheelchair, peanut butter, Cirque du Soleil, Canada Arm, my favorite poutine, ginger ale, another favorite, plus tons more, right? See, we have some people in Canada that are smart and that have a God-given gift to design things and come up with ideas. And we get to be a part of that. We can celebrate those types of things. And even beyond the things we've designed and developed, we've got some amazing athletes that we can be proud of, comedians, actors. We have things like people like peacekeepers in our army who were instrumental in World War II, in the victory there, our army, really, I mean, guys, if you don't know what our army did in World War II and we think we're just a bunch of dimwit army people, we were a powerful force to be reckoned with because our people had courage and went into battle. Canadians step up everywhere and make a difference. So I think that's something to be proud of. Our passport is the fifth thing we can be proud of, guys. The Canadian passport. Jesus told us to go out into the world and share the gospel, didn't he? That's what he said. Share the gospel to every nation. And a Canadian passport helps our global workers and us, if we choose, to go out and share the gospel to all nations. I don't believe there's any nation that will reject a Canadian from visiting. This passport, our Canadian passport, brings respect. Our Canadian passport brings opportunities to share the gospel. Now, I don't know if you've read about Paul, but in the book of Acts, Paul pulls out his passport a lot, doesn't he? And he says, oh, I can go in here. I'm a Roman citizen. Let me in. I'm free to go. And you know what? In a lot of cases, our Canadian passport lets us do the same thing. I'm a Canadian. I can go here. And that's something we can be proud of. Just like Paul used his passport, I think we need to be using our passport a little bit more for that. So the sixth thing, I'm trying to give you guys some things to be excited about being Canadian. The sixth thing is our abundant resources. Our abundant resources. So you look at a nation like Israel who's blessed by God, right? We know that Israel has been blessed by God. Israel has the Red Sea, the Dead Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and then one fresh body of water to share with Syria and other nations, right? What do we have? In Canada, we have over 2 million lakes. Over 2 million. We have 1% of the world's population in our nation and nearly 10% of the fresh water in the world. That's a pretty big blessing. Plus, on top of that, we have minerals of all sorts, gold, diamonds, zinc, uranium, potash. The list goes on, right? We all know we are abundantly wealthy in minerals. Plus, we have oil, we have natural gas, we have wood, timber. We are blessed beyond blessed by our abundant resources. That's something to be proud of. And we have salt too. And the seventh is tied very closely to number six, but it is our abundant beauty around us. Have you ever got out and looked at this, our beauty? Not my beauty, but the beauty of our nation. It's amazing. In Romans 1:20, we read this, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." See, we live in Canada. We have more than our share of evidence of God, of his amazingness, of his beauty, of his majesty. And we have this in our nation. Beautiful things. I took a picture and some of you guys liked it, and I saw Elaine had a nice picture, beautiful picture of the sunset last week. Our sunsets here are amazing, aren't they? Like, man, second to none. I had people commenting and making jokes about Saskatchewan, but look outside at your sunset. Wow. The amazing things God does. Have you ever been to any lakes or rivers and just looked at how beautiful they were around there? Or the mountains and the waterfalls? It's amazing. God created all this. So, I have some questions for you guys, okay? And I'm going to get you to throw up your hand if you've visited here at all. Have you ever, who's been to Newfoundland? Okay, Newfoundland's a place to check out, guys. It is beautiful. We did some cliff jumping there, and we did some, into the ocean, as well as cliff jumping into a lagoon type thing. It was a freshwater lagoon. It wasn't sewage lagoon. But I remember going there, middle of the night. I was about 19 or 20 and stupid. And my friends that I was with were like, okay, just jump right there. And they turned their flashlight on and pointed it there. Don't jump on either side of that, but that's where it's deep. And literally, you jumped, and if you didn't hit that, it could be bad. And I thought, why not? So we jumped. It was fun. But I was like, how shallow is this really around there? And all around me, it was like 3 feet, except that hole that was about 20. But it was beautiful. Or has anybody ever been to Prince Edward Island? Beautiful, right? God created this beauty for us. Nova Scotia? Beautiful again, right? Like, man, we have so much beauty. New Brunswick? Beautiful. It's like, I can't say enough good things about New Brunswick. Now, Quebec, maple syrup, right? Quebec's cool. They had smoked meat. It's not part of the scenery, but it's as good as the scenery in some cases, because that is just a beautiful area. Ontario. Like, I remember the first time going to Ontario, guys, and we were in Burlington. And we had a hotel. I went with Promise Keepers because I was working for them at the time. And we flew in, and I had a hotel room. Hotel was nothing special inside, but that view of the Great Lakes, and just we would go walking at night, and it was so pretty. One of the most beautiful places I've been to. This other one I'll say begrudgingly, Manitoba. But it's a fantastic place. Like, I always used to laugh about Manitoba, but they always laughed about Saskatchewan. But Manitoba's pretty nice. They have some cool stuff. They got a desert there. Did you know that? There's a desert in Manitoba. There's sand dunes. There's a giant lake in the middle of the province. And then there's Lake Winnipeg on top of that. The giant lake was Winnipeg, guys. It's a bad joke. See, John wasn't here early to warm them up for me, so. So, we got Saskatchewan. We've all been, have you ever been in northern Saskatchewan, guys? Like, second to none. People talk about how nice the mountains are and how boring Saskatchewan is. They've obviously never been north or traveled anywhere here to see the sunsets and the trees and just the beauty that we have. Then we have Alberta. Alberta. Beautiful province. Beautiful province. BC. BC is another. Mountains, ocean. Like, what's not to appreciate there about God's amazing beauty he's created for us? The Yukon. The Yukon. I've seen pictures of the Yukon. Looks pretty cool. Northwest Territories? I've never been. My brother lives there at Inuvik, and I've seen more pictures now than I've ever seen, and it looks amazing. It's different beauty, but it's beautiful, isn't it? Isn't it beautiful? And the wildlife and everything, and then Nunavut. Anybody ever been to Nunavut? Maybe you were there before they split them from 2 to 3. But we span in our nation 6 time zones. Did you know that? 6 time zones. We have the largest coastline on 3 oceans. Did you know that? So many people travel abroad and they leave Canada because they're like, oh, I want to see the world. I want to see what's out there. And they miss the beauty that we have here. We need to experience the beauty of our nation. So I encourage you to experience the beauty of our nation. The views and what you have here is second to none. So number 8 is our spiritual future. Sorry. So the church is in decline in many nations, but the church is growing in Asia, South America, and parts of Africa, right? And almost all the growth seen in these is identified, guys, as Pentecostal. I'm not sure if you know that. And part of it is, as we talked about before, though, our missionaries are out there and invested in. When we talked about the Holy Spirit, that's where they're coming from. And it's actually quite amazing and phenomenal that a majority of these new believers are identifying as Pentecostal. See, they identify that the Holy Spirit is alive and active in their lives. They identify that they are blessed because the Holy Spirit is leading them, helping them, directing them. And the church, churches are growing and are spiritually vital. They have spiritual vitality. In churches in Canada, most of our growth we see actually isn't, it's sad, but it's not happening from people born here. Did you know that? Most of the growth happening in churches, thank you. Most of the growth happening in churches is happening because of people moving to Canada. And they're moving to Canada from these other nations. Immigrants and new Canadians are creating and starting PAOC churches, like Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada churches, at a rate of 2 to 1. These new Canadians that are coming in as believers or becoming believers here are starting churches because they want to see spiritual vitality. They want to see the Spirit moving in their churches. They want to see people excited for Jesus. And I believe that we as a church here are spiritually vital. I believe that we are, as a church, are growing in our excitement and our joy and all these things for the Lord. So I'm excited that we get to be part of that whole thing where as new believers come to Canada, they're going to want to come in here and participate in what we're doing and help lead us into some of those new spiritual vital roles. The number 9 reason why we should be thankful. Do you know why? It's kind of a different one for you, but we get to practice the demographics of heaven in advance. So what do I mean by that? It means the number of Canadians who are born in another country right now in Canada is actually over 20%. Over 20% of our nation was born outside of Canada. Toronto, I don't know if you know this, but Toronto is the biggest multicultural city in the world. Did you know that? Bigger than New York, bigger than Paris, bigger than London, Toronto. And Revelation 7:9-10 says this to us. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out in loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." People from every nation praising Jesus. And we can be a part of that here in Canada already. And we can celebrate that. So from whatever land they are, that they're from, and Jesus is their Savior, we have an opportunity to celebrate and an opportunity to have this advanced picture of what heaven might be like. It's kind of cool. It's kind of different. The 10th thing. It's probably one of my favorites as well. I mean, our first one about him having dominion over our nation being built on Christian values, it's important. But the 10th thing I think is pretty amazing. And it's that our country allows us to have a church family like ours. There are churches maybe in places with great buildings, like great big buildings, or they speak of things like dedication and sacrifice and love. But we're enjoying it here. We're actually participating in it here. We're working through different things here to become more engaged and participate in it each day more. But we get to be a part of what God is doing. And I'm so glad that our personal preference isn't what drives us here, but it's what Jesus calls us to do. That's what drives us as a church, and I'm excited for that. I love that, and I think it's amazing. It's an amazing gift. Are you grateful for all the blessings that God has given us? As a nation, I mean, I just hit 10 things really quickly for you guys. But I think there are 10 important things we need to remember because I think we forget how awesome Canada is. Like, I think we forget there are good things here. And I think we need to be there for people as a nation. So I want to tell you a quick story. Maybe not a story. I'm not sure what you call it. I'll tell you something. How about that? We won't call it anything. I'll just tell you something. So in Jesus' time, Jesus was not known for what he was against. Jesus was known for what he was for. See, Jesus was for people who needed him. He was there for everyone who had this spiritual hunger. Jesus was there for everyone, rich, poor, weak, strong. He was there for loving them, right? And he wanted to heal people supernaturally. And he wanted to make them whole, body, mind, and spirit. Jesus was there to make people whole. And I think anytime we talk about wholeness, we are only whole through the supernatural power of Jesus. Only whole through the supernatural power of Jesus. So, here's my, I got a small challenge for you before we pray, okay? And that the challenge is this, that Christians from Rosetown Community Church would be known by what we're for and not what we're against. That people in Rosetown would know that Rosetown Community Church is for something. Because, let's face facts, okay? I'm not saying we're going to throw caution to the wind and we're doing whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm saying because most people know a church for what they're against. Oh, they're against this. Oh, they're against that. Oh, they're against this, right? Do you understand what I'm saying here? That's not what I want us to be known for. I want us to be known as a group of people who you can come to and be loved, that they can come to and be served, that they can come to and be encouraged and blessed and prayed for and just, you know, the things that Jesus would do. I want us to be known by that. I want us to be known by as people that would love and give sacrificial love in only the way that Jesus can. Do you know what I'm saying? Only the way that Jesus can. And that needs to come from our heart as we seek him more. That we would be known to bring life and life-changing words, and the life-changing words of only Jesus has and spoke. The life-changing words that Jesus has inscribed on our hearts. And these life-changing words need to be visible in our actions. That's what I pray that we would be known for. That people would find Jesus here in our church, that his spirit would rest here, that his spirit would be active in us. That people would come here and find supernatural healings, that their faith would grow, and that they would be people who believe. That they would come here and that the Lord would help them in their unbelief. Just like when you read in Mark chapter 9. Do you remember that the father of that child? And the father came to Jesus and said, Jesus, heal my child. Help my child, Jesus. And Jesus told him, do you believe? And he said, yes, I believe. I have faith. Yes, I believe. But Jesus, help me in my unbelief. And I pray that as a church we would shed our unbelief and that our faith would rise up and that we would be passionate about these things that Jesus is passionate about. That we would be a church where unbelief would be a thing of the past. And that we wouldn't think, why would somebody want to come here? But that we would be a church where we know that people want to come. Where people would come and belong because we have these 10 things as a nation. We hold these 10 things in our church body in various ways as well. We have resources in people, right? We have beauty in each other's love. We have his leadership, Jesus' leadership leading us. And I pray that we would be a lighthouse in Rosetown and in our nation. I pray that as Rosetown Community Church continues to grow, that we would grab that challenge and that we would move forward in that challenge. I'm going to invite you guys to stand. And I'm going to ask John John, do you want to come play your guitar for me? And we're going to spend a few moments here praying. And we're going to pray for the things we talked about praying. So would you guys just bow with me? Father God, right now we come before you. And God, we just ask, Father, for your spirit to just rest here in this place, God. Father, I pray that we would be fully focused on you and the peace and love that only you can bring. God, I pray right now, Father, for our mayor of Rosetown, God, for our counselors, God, for the RM, Father, leaders, God, for the Reeves, God, that you would just Keep your hand upon them, God. Bless them, Father. God, give them your wisdom. Father, as they make decisions for us, as a community, God, as they make decisions for Rosetown and the area, God, I pray that you would just give them wisdom, godly wisdom, and just anoint them, Father. We pray for your blessing to be upon them. God, we thank you for their servant's heart and their willingness to serve and lead. Father, I pray that you would give them guidance. God, I pray that if we need to speak to them or need to give them encouragement or just give them some ideas, God, I pray that we would do it boldly, Father, and in love and with passion. Father God, we pray that you would just bless them. Touch them, God, and lead them. And God, we pray also for our premier, God, and for our MLAs of this beautiful, great province, God. Father, we pray that you would lead them and guide them and direct them, God. God, that these people would be led by compassion, and that they would be led by conviction that only you can bring, Father. Father, I pray that those that are believers, Father, would be raised up as leaders in their party, God. Father, that your spirit would rest in the legislative assembly, God. Father, your spirit would move, that your spirit would breathe through there. And Father, godly decisions would be made. That people wouldn't rely on their own wisdom and knowledge, God, but they would rely on you. And Father, we also pray for our MPs, God. There are many, many godly MPs in all parties, Father, and we pray that you would just raise them up, Father, to be leaders in their parties. Raise them up to be leaders in our nation, God. Father, that their convictions of what you taught, the convictions that this country was founded on would be what would guide each decision, each discussion, each dialogue that happens, Father, within that House of Commons. Father God, we pray that there would be godly leadership coming through there, that your voice and your spirit would be heard, Father. Father, that walls would be broken down in that house, God. And Father, that your spirit would reign once again there. Father, that hearts would be softened, Father, for you. That changes would happen for you, Father. God, we pray for our nation, God. As these men and these women are leading us, God, we pray that they would seek you, Father. Father, they would seek your approval. Father, that it wouldn't be about partisan decisions, God, but it would be about godly decisions. That your spirit would reign supreme. And Father, right now, Father, we pray for Justin Trudeau, God, and his family. Father God, soften their hearts once again to you. Father, open their eyes to what they might have once known. God, give them wisdom. Give them courage to lead in a godly way, Father. Let them shake off the shackles of any sinful past, anything that's pulling them away from you, Father. Shake those shackles off, and God, let them run to you. Father, let them focus on you. Let them meditate on your word. Let your word become truth in their lives, Father. Father, I pray that they would continue to lead Canada up until the next election, God, with your spirit and your heart. And Father, we pray right now for this election that's coming up, God. Father, we pray for the leader that you have appointed for such a time, Father. We're not praying for parties, Father. We are praying, Father, for the leader that you've called into that position of authority. Father, whether we like them or not, God, we lift them up in prayer. And God, we trust you, we trust your plan, and we trust your purpose. Father, we love you. We honor you, God. God, we pray, Father, for our nation. God, we pray for this nation, God. Break hearts for you. Draw us back to you, Father. God, we love you. And as our anthem sings, God, keep our land glorious and free. Father, we thank you for the freedom you've given us. Thank you for these top 10 things we talked about today, God. And Father, for the many, many more that we didn't touch on, God, we just thank you. Lead us, God. Lead our nation. Father, because you are our King. And you are greater than any political leader in our nation today. Your power and your authority we yield to. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Give me one sec.